Hi, Blue Wire listeners. I'm Greg Olson. I'm excited to partner with Blue Wire to bring you TE1, a podcast where I interview the tight ends who have revolutionized the position. Listen in as I have raw, in-depth conversations with the all-time greats like Shannon Sharp, Tony Gonzalez, Travis Kelce, and George Kittle. We'll explore how the tight end position has changed over the last 60 years and what it takes to be the very best. Subscribe to TE1 from Blue Wire Studios today so you're ready for the August premiere.
Hello and welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I am Ty Windisch. I am here as always with the inscrutable, maybe, Rohan Kadi. This episode is brought to you by Bet Online and Deal Dash. Rohan, how's it going? The Bucks are through two seeding games now. They are 1-1, and there's been a lot of takes.
There have been. I think I can start this off by saying, same feeling as last episode, last time we recorded, in the sense that I can no longer use the LeVar meme for undefeated seeding games. And there's, you know, I'm running out of options here. Like home games, technically that was a Rockets home game. So technically,
that's true. Yeah,
they're still undefeated in home games.
In the East?
Yeah, Eastern Conference. See, I'll figure it out. I always do. But yeah, we're through two games. It's really, it's really nice to have actual Bucks basketball back. Like these games matter. These games have mattered that we've been watching, which is just wild. Like I'm enjoying the ride still. I'm still in that state of basketball is back.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, I think a lot of people are getting a little bit too frustrated with some of these games just because, I mean, they do technically matter. I don't think Bud thinks they matter all that much. I mean, we got so far, and there was more in game one, but we've gotten 16 minutes per game from Sterling Brown. And we've gotten quite a bit from Ersan, who's played almost 9 minutes per game, which I don't know if those things will hold up when everyone's healthy and the games actually matter again. But yeah, I don't know. It's been really fun to watch them at times. Sometimes the team has been just a little bit frustrating, I think. But overall, I do agree. Just like having basketball back is nice. I mean, I really just enjoy watching this team. So that getting to do that is fun, even if they do, you know, not win every single game, which apparently you have to be a serious contender. You just have to go 82-0. But unfortunately, the Bucks not doing that.
Yeah, they did win their first game against the Boston Celtics on, what was that, Friday? Yeah, Friday.
Yes.
And then, of course, they dropped one on Sunday night against the Houston Rockets, continuing their trend of not doing great on ABC, the Bucks, that is. For some reason, I don't know. Have they lost their last two, right? Because they had that one Sixers game 2 years ago, last season.
Oh yeah, yeah, late last season,
which feels like two years ago, where Giannis had like 52.
That was that effing baby game, wasn't it?
It was.
Well, that sounds so weird out of context.
And then there was this season, that feels like last season's, this season's Christmas game against the Sixers.
Oh, God.
If I'm remembering correctly. But yeah, they lost to the Rockets in a close game. What was the final score there? It was a 4-point game, 120-116.
I knew it for once.
You did, yes. But yeah, we're 1-1. The Bucks are in the seeding game so far.
Yeah, so basically I figure here, because we're not recording directly after either game, which is probably good because I wouldn't even say riled up, just some of the takes right after the Houston game were exhausting. I mean, the funny thing to me, and it's not funny, but, you know, everyone who's salty says the funny thing to me. Giannis is not a closer or LeBron-level player because he messed up the last play. I mean, he's driving against Harden. I think somebody helps, maybe Westbrook, and then Giannis throws a terrible pass that gets picked off. It's basically game over from that point. I mean, Chris got a couple looks, but didn't fall. I think it was the play right before that. I mean, Giannis drove through and scored to put the Bucks up. So it's just one of those. It's like, it's not like he didn't do anything late. I don't know. He messed up. He didn't win a game. You don't win every single game. The Rockets are good. I don't know. It was an up and down game. I thought most of their execution in the second half was good. And then the very end, I just didn't really get what they were going for. And I see a lot of people have been talking about why not run the Chris Giannis pick and roll. Obviously, I agree with that question. I think the answer I've seen, not from like the team, but just floated out there, is maybe they didn't want to run it because Houston would just switch because they have the five tiny guy lineup now, and that takes away the effectiveness a little bit. But I still think it would have probably been worth running What were your thoughts on like the late game execution against Houston?
I thought it was just, it seemed a little disjointed. Yeah. That's the only way I can put it. It's, I don't know if I can, Milwaukee can heavily lean on this as an excuse, but it felt like they didn't really know what they were doing. It seemed like they were out of practice, but I don't know how much you can really lean on that in terms of late game execution, because that's more like a mental aspect, realistically, right?
Yeah.
Whether you know what you're doing or not in these tight situations, is that because they haven't necessarily had to play in a close game through the majority of the season, or even in general, like basketball wise in like almost 5 months? Who's to say? It felt really disjointed. That's really all I can say there. There was, like you had mentioned, there's a lot of mistakes either way. And just like this entire game in general against the Rockets was just, it was just so sloppy. The team finished with 22 turnovers.
Yeah, the second highest mark they've hit all season. Like they had 23 in two different games.
Yeah, it was just, if you're turning it over 22 times and you're only making less than 10 threes in a game, I don't know how you expect to win with or without the late game execution.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the late game execution is what people are going to focus on, just because, you know, it turns the game. I mean, that's why they lost. I mean, they had built up a lead and they absolutely just completely fumbled it away. I mean, I thought they had put that thing away. And then Houston, I think, goes on a 9-0 run in just the space of a couple minutes, where it's, I mean, that's how you can't be giving up stuff like that. I mean, that this should be seen. Obviously, these games are, they count, but they're practiced for, you know, the playoffs. But I hope the Bucks really take a long look at some of the execution there late and figure out how to prevent that exact thing from happening. Because I think part of what happened is they thought the same thing I did, which is like, oh, we just won this. Like, I don't remember exactly what their lead was, but it was fairly comfortable with almost no time left. And I think they just took the gas off the pedal. And I think you can't do that at all, but you really can't do that against a guy like Russell Westbrook, who's always going 200 miles an hour. Lo and behold, Russ starts to like go crazy and score and get to the line a bunch. And I think it kind of dazed the Bucks. It was like if this was a boxing match, right? They're in like the 11th or 12th round. They have a huge lead. And they just get caught with a couple haymakers and get KO'd, when all they really had to do was keep taking care of business and finish that thing out. And they could have won. They should have won. So hopefully it's a learning experience that you can't take the gas off. You have to be methodical with your execution and how you play. But yeah, the ball control was disgusting. I think Pud is probably furious and probably not super happy watching that film. I think a lot of guys who usually are decent ball handlers, you know, especially in the small doses that they usually operate in with the ball, just look bad. I think the worst offender might have been Dante DiVincenzo, who ends up with 5 turnovers. Chris had 6, but and he was also sloppy at times as well, but overall had a much better game. I don't know. How concerned are you with the ball control? Is this, and then Houston is a team that has to go for deflections because they're not big, but I don't know. I thought it was worrying, but I don't think it's something, I think they can fix it.
They can definitely fix it. It seems like a lot of the time they were just getting stripped in the lane.
Yeah.
A lot of the times, especially with like Chris and Dante, that happened a bunch with them. Dante, I'll get to in a minute. But it just, it seemed like, yeah, I'm not super concerned necessarily with the ball control, because this is a team that we know that doesn't turn the ball over very often. Like they have a proven track record of, you know, not being like they take care of the basketball. So I'm not going to let one game necessarily sway my thoughts on whether this team can necessarily handle itself in terms of like ball control. So I don't want to get like, you know, too erratic when I say this, but it seemed really sloppy. It seemed like they were trying to do too much, and that's where I get into Dante. So against this game, again, we did not have any Eric Bledsoe. We did not have Pat Connaughton at all. We did have Marvin Williams return, though. So we did. The Bucks were off. Like, they didn't have their starting point guard. So again, Dante was in his place. And we know against the Rockets, that's where Bledsoe shines, right? If there was one game that I wanted Bledsoe to play during these seeding games, it was against the Rockets. Just him, he just gets a whole nother level of excitement when he gets to just swat James Harden shots off the backboard. It's just, it's great. But, you know, unfortunately, he was not able to play. But, you know, wish the best to him. Hope he can get healthy and for the games that really matter. Because, again, this is just a regular season game. But, yeah, Dante. It seemed like from the jump, he was trying to be Eric Bledsoe.
Yeah.
He's not Eric Bledsoe.
No.
I think this game really showed that Dante, I am a big Dante stan. Love Dante. Love where he's going in the future with this team. He tried to do too much this game. He's good at a little bit of ball, like, creation with the ball in his hands, but not at the level of a near all-star in Eric Bledsoe. And I feel like he was just trying to replicate his role the entire game, and he bit off more than he could chew.
Yeah, and I think the frustrating thing for me with Dante, and I could even forgive some of the turnovers on the drives, I mean, that is something the Bucks want him to do, you know, is go north-south, like, get to the rim. He's not great at finishing all the time, and he definitely goes through some weird journeys to get there, but I could forgive a little bit of that, but I'm confused at how many pull-up jumpers he's taking when he's not really that open, like, pretty early in the shot clock. I mean, in this game he shoots 4 for 10 overall, 1 for 6 from deep, and it felt like, without looking, maybe 2, maybe 3 of those threes were catch and shoot. A lot of them he'll just, like, kind of come around a screen and pull up, and, you know, I like him trying to add that to his game eventually, but there's only a few guys on this team I really want creating offense. Chris, obviously, Giannis, obviously, Brook Lopez, when he's in the right spots, he can do it. He was phenomenal in the Rockets game. He's just been really good overall, I think, but he just kind of wondered, and I know, I mean, they're down guys, so that probably plays a lot into it, but I would actually just rather have, you know, more motions and stuff than just, like, more actions, run some screens, cuts, post-ups, something, or especially against this team, some post-ups. Some of those guys are, like, the Lopez brothers would just overpower them, although P.J. Tucker and James Harden are very stout down low. But, yeah, just it just felt like, it, almost more than Bledsoe, like, he was taking some shots in this game where I was like, I don't even know if Eric Bledsoe would take that shot on this team, so certainly didn't work out for him. 9 points on 10 shots and 5 turnovers, but hopefully it's a learning experience and he continues to be aggressive when he needs to be. It's similar to Bledsoe. He's got to be aggressive, but controlled aggressive, not just like, let me, you know, dash around a screen and pull up even if my guy didn't really get stuck on the screen.
Yeah, it's a happy medium. You don't want him to be, you know, super passive or anything. You want him to play to his strengths, but just like not too much, you know? It's yeah. Just finding a happy medium. That's all I can really say there.
Right. So I guess one thing I want to talk about for sure, just overall both games, and this is something I've seen a little bit of concern on Twitter, a little bit of concern in our Eurostep Discord, which tweet at either of us with a screenshot of you listening to the pod if you want to get in there and talk Bucks. But Milwaukee's 3-point shooting. I think nationally I saw a lot of concern over the Houston game about the Bucks, like, defending threes and the corners and all that. I don't know. I feel like we've just talked about their scheme ad nauseum. They could switch if they wanted to. They could have Brooks slide a couple more feet out to P.J. Tucker if they wanted to. Whatever. Maybe we can get to it later if you want to talk about it. But the Bucks own 3-point shooting. They've been 28.9% through the two games. I think they were like 25% or 28% or something like that against Houston. The team is not shooting very well. I mean, surprisingly, outside of Ersan, who's, I think, 1 of 1 in the bubble, and Robin Lopez, who's only taken a couple, Giannis is their second leading 3-point shooter amongst guys who have actually been regularly taking them. Kyle Korver is at 43%, then Giannis is at 37.5%. Nobody else is above 30%. So, I don't know, do you find this troubling? Like, the Bucks again, in some of these tight games, not hitting threes, or, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it exactly.
Yeah, it's just weird. It's always concerning, especially given how well this team is capable of shooting the three and also how much it really opens things up for their best player. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like, if you have elite 3-point shooting around Giannis, that's obviously what makes Giannis even better. You can have you just want to put your best player in the position where he can be his best. And that happens when you have players knocking down shots when he that he can pass out to, you know. Yeah. So it's definitely it's a little concerning. I will say that, especially given you know, like George, like the players that they're missing right now in Eric Bledsoe and Pat Connaughton are not like snipers. So I don't know. It's just, it's more like a wait and see sort of thing, I can say, because we don't have necessarily like a large sample size or anything, right? It's like you've been saying, it's only been like two games, right? Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a little bit concerning if it were to continue against Brooklyn, of all teams, on Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds right.
Tuesday during the day.
Oh yeah, it's that weird 12:30 start or something, right? Or
something like 2:30? That. We'll talk about the Brooklyn game. It's gonna be brutal, but
yeah. But if that continues, then I'll start to get a little more worried. But you could also say, you could also take this a different way and say, like, they made less than 9 threes and they had multiple opportunities to tie the game to send it to OT.
Yeah.
You know,
my thing with the shooting is thus. I think even though Bledsoe and Connaughton, I think they're fine three-point shooters. They're not great. They're not, like, better than the guys on the floor right now. I think mostly Bledsoe, I guess a little bit Pat, really open up the floor for some of the shooters more. I mean, we've seen, like, the Sterling Brown minutes. And I don't want to pile on Sterling Brown too much. I mean, it's like he's clearly just being overtaxed. Like, they're basically playing him as point guard in some of these rotations,
Why
lineups.
Can't we get any Frank Mason minutes?
I wonder if he's still banged up. Have we?
Oh,
have
that's
we,
true.
I don't know. I haven't seen him on the injury report, but I'm not sure if he's healthy or not. But it's just like the guy's not a point guard, and every time he's like, I will say though, I know I just said I don't want to pile on him. The really frustrating Sterling Brown clips for me is like when he grabs a rebound and just tries to take it coast to coast himself and looks off a bunch of really good playmakers and shooters and turns the ball over. Like those are the kind of things that go, okay, seriously, like. Oh, it's frustrating, but whatever. Anyway, like, obviously, you know, if there's however many, 16 minutes a game of Sterling Brown where he's one of the primary playmakers on the team, there's not going to be as many good threes being taken. Like, I think the looks are going to be a lot better for everybody once the team is whole and is healthy. But again, like, the other thing, too, is this kind of was like last year's thing, right? Like, why aren't they hitting? Like, they're good shooters. Why aren't they hitting the threes? Like, what should the Bucks do? Should it be a concern? I don't really think you can even think about it. Like, I don't, like, they have Kyle Korver, Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez, George Hill, Wesley Matthews, Marvin Williams. Like, those are all very good shooters. Brooke Lopez maybe a little more questionable with the season and it's more recent thing, but still, like, between Korver, Middleton, George Hill, Wesley Matthews, Marvin Williams, those are five, like, very, very good shooters for their positions. Some of the best in the league, I would argue. If they don't hit shots, they don't hit shots. Like, I don't think it's anything like on the way the Bucks play. I think it's just kind of random. But
yeah, there's a level of variance there that you have to accept.
Yeah, but I don't know what they could have possibly done better. Like, Kyle Korver, one of the best catch and shoot guys ever. Chris Middleton's elite in all areas. Wesley Matthews been very good forever. George Hill led the league in 3-point percentage this year.
Kyle Korver also good in all areas. You see him driving to the rim.
Oh my goodness. I thought the life exited his body when he hit the ground. He looked done. I was like, is that his last basketball play ever?
It might be the last time he ever does that. No.
It truly might be. But I just, like, you know what I mean though? Like,
yes.
And Robin and Brooke have been good this year too. Ersan is around, sure. What else can you do besides get all these shooters? Like, I don't think it's a flaw in the way they play. I think it's random.
Yeah, that's fair. It's just random chance. And again, even if you're not getting, like, I think the concern is like when your three isn't falling, are you going to do anything to adjust or just hope?
Yeah. Yeah. You got to get inside. That's all my take for years and just basketball in general has been, like, if you miss like three straight threes, you need to get to the paint the next possession. Like, you can't. I think that this is Houston's downfall. I think that's how you miss 27 straight, is like if you get forced into just taking them over and over and you lose that confidence, I think that can kill you. So I think the Bucks need to start inside and work outside, I mean, especially with having Giannis. But that's something I would worry about and think about more than just like, what if everyone turns into potatoes in the playoffs? I don't know what you do about that. I don't know how you adjust to that. They have so many great shooters. if it happens, it happens. I don't think it will. I seriously hope not. But it's just not something I'm going to sit here and worry about, because it just seems like impossible to control.
Yeah, for sure. It's just like you said, it's just random. It's just variance. You can just hope, but also just like, if you're not making your threes, just go post up one of the low pie, you know?
Yeah.
Have Chris work in the mid range, you know, just like have him back someone down, hit a turnaround fade. Easy. You know, just like if your threes aren't falling, are you willing to, you know, change it up a little? You know?
Yeah.
That's a great point. The concern.
That's a great point. I like that way of addressing it. And I do think, and I'm glad. I mean, I was bickering on Twitter with friend of the pod, Anthony Doyle, a little bit about, you know, there was a few, he was the first one I saw, but a lot of people were like, this shows how much they miss Bledsoe. And it's true. And I'm glad people are appreciating Bledsoe a little bit. Also, like, again, early in the game, they're doing stuff that even if Bledsoe wasn't out, they wouldn't probably do if they were healthy and trying really hard to win the game. But I digress. Eric Bledsoe's coming back. That's going to help. Sports are also coming back. And Rohan, so are your chances to bet on your favorite teams and events. MLB is finally still kicking off this week. Opening Brewers Day is tonight. Opening night? I don't know. Maybe. And there's no better place to start wagering than our exclusive partners, BetOnline. Check out all the odds, futures, and props to bet on, all available 24/7. And with the return of sports, BetOnline sat down with former pro players Eddie George, Harold Reynolds, and seven-time NBA champ Robert Horry. See what they had to say on what it'll be like playing without fans in a series they're calling Fandemic. Visit betonline.ag for all your odds and up-to-date sports news. And remember to use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus. That's promo code BLUEWIRE at BetOnline, your online wagering experts. And speaking of straight cash, have you ever heard of DealDash.com? It's the best, most honest bidding site where you can win things you would never expect at a price you'd never believe. They have more than 1,000 auctions every day on electronics, appliances, beauty products, could always use more of those, home decor, and even cars, I guess. Here's how it works. It's like an auction, but every item starts at $0 and only goes up 1 cent every time you bid. The kicker is that auction clock restarts after just 10 seconds. That means every time you bid, everyone else has 10 seconds to answer, or the item is yours. If you go ahead and buy now, DealDash is offering our listeners an extra 100 free bids upon sign up on top of their other discounts. You just need to go to DealDash.com and use offer code Euro, G-Y-R-O, or head to DealDash.fm/Euro. That's DealDash.fm/Euro. Go check it out and buy me something. Okay, Rohan, what should we talk about next? I just did a lot of talking.
I feel like before the break, we were talking about, you know, a little bit of adjustments that Milwaukee could do in the absence of three-point shooting. One thing that we did see a lot of in this game, which is an improvement, like in the Rockets game compared to last season, is just Brook Lopez just smashing dudes. Oh my goodness, was that entertaining.
Brook has just been really, really good, and I was a little worried that I had just gotten hot takey when I said after one of the scrimmages, I keep confusing scrimmages and seeding games, but that, like, I thought he was the third best player on the team. And obviously Bledsoe's been out, but he's comfortably been the third best player. I mean, through the two seeding games they've played, Brook is at 30 minutes a game, which feels very healthy for him. I mean, I don't know what his number is off top. I feel like it's probably a little below that. But 30 minutes a game, 18.5 points on 46% from the field. And that number is lower than it probably would be because he's down again to 28% from three. But 90% from free throw. He's made 4.5 out of 5 per game. Also, 8 rebounds, 1 assist, half a steal, 4 blocks per game, and 1.5 turnovers. And they've won his minutes by nearly 10 points per game. Brook's just been awesome all around. And yeah, I agree with you. I love seeing that when they just find him, those mismatches. They did it in both of the games. And it just feels like there's going to be more Brook, and I think that's a really good thing for the Bucks. Like, I think he was probably underutilized last year.
Yeah, it's hunting mismatches. We saw, like, in their ultimate downfall last season against Toronto, we've talked
I like
about
that, the ultimate downfall.
Ooh, thank you.
It's true.
We saw that they did not really seek out mismatches and try to exploit, you know, Toronto's weaknesses in terms of their defenders. we're starting to see now that, okay, if you're playing a Rockets team that doesn't start anyone above 6'7", and you start Brook Lopez, who is an exceptionally massive human being, at like 7 foot, or is he 7'1", something like that, and like 280 pounds or something like that, he can get buckets in the post. He can do work. He can get a lot of rebounds. He can get a lot of putbacks. He can just own the paint. And we saw them go to that, which is really exciting, given that obviously they didn't win the game. But it's these little adjustments that can be made that's just, it excites me a lot at the prospect of, you know, they can do this in like a close series in the playoffs.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I think one of the positives so far from the whole scrimmages, all of the starting five they've been using have been at least plus 10 over their minutes in the first two games. Dante is plus 10 overall, even after, again, playing pretty terribly against Houston. Chris is plus 12. Giannis is plus 19. Brooke is plus 19. Wes Matthews, plus 26. And he's 3 for 12 from 3, and those are the only shots he's taken. So shooting 25% from 3 and the field, although he's made all 3 of his free throws. And the only other stats he's put up besides those 12 points are 2 rebounds. No assists, no steals, no blocks. Plus 26. If you, and that, of course, you could say it's random, whatever, because plus minus, it doesn't always indicate what's going on. I think that shows you exactly how good of a perimeter defender he is and exactly how good the Bucks are when they're playing their main guys together. I mean, I think that's a positive, even though 4 out of the 5, and the only one shooting well is Giannis, 4 out of the 5 are shooting poorly. They've still been crushing teams when they all play together, like their real lineups in big minutes. So I think even with some discouraging signs we've seen, I think there's been a good amount of positives. I mean, if the shots start falling, I do feel like they're just going to start crushing teams again.
Yeah, that's fair. If the Bucks are making their threes, there's no really chance any team has to really beat them.
Yeah.
So it's just, it goes back to our prior discussion on just like three-point shooting variance. If it's going in, like, you're not going to beat the Bucks. If it's not, you just have to hope that the Bucks don't adjust to it.
Yeah. Yeah. What else should we talk about? What's your George Hill concern level at? George Hill has been very meh so far.
Yeah. Meh is a good way of putting it. He just seems really passive. It doesn't really seem like he's being, you know, like hunting shots as like a bench point guard or anything. He hasn't been like the real steadying ship that he's been all throughout the season before the hiatus. Like if you need, in prior games, if you needed someone to like slow it down, you know, get like a good pass, get a good read to lead to a good bucket, you know, with bench units, George Hill was your guy. You just put the ball in his hands, he'll calm everything down, and he'll get you a good shot opportunity, whether it's through him or through another player that he, you know, gets a good assist to. It's just, he hasn't really been doing that. He hasn't really stood out in any particular way. It's that feeling, it's the Tony Snell feeling, almost, where it's like he's on the court, but it's like, what on earth is he doing on the court? Like, I forget he's in the game, sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I mean, it's like, so Robin Lopez has played 18 minutes so far.
Which is surprisingly low.
Yeah, it is. I guess that's what happened. If Brooke's going to play a lot, there's just going to be not that many minutes for him, I suppose. But in those 18 total minutes, Robin Lopez has scored 11 points and made 4 shots. George Hill has played 55 minutes, scored 12 points, and made 3 shots. So, literally, he has almost 40 more minutes than Robin Lopez, and he's made 1 less shot. And obviously, I mean, Robin Lopez operates around the basket. You know, they're higher percentage looks, but that's a ridiculous number. I mean, George Hill, in my estimation, should probably be either 4th or 5th in scoring on this version of the Bucks that we've seen. Like, obviously, it's going to be Giannis, then Chris, then probably Brook Lopez, then George Hill should be right there with Dante DiVincenzo. He's just not been. Like, he scored as many points as Wes Matthews, who, like I already said, has just been terrible at making threes, but still managed 12 points, the same as George Hill. It's concerning, and I wasn't as concerned across the scrimmages because he just wasn't, like, knocking down all his threes. That it'll come and go a little bit sometimes. Hopefully it doesn't go for a long stretch, but just the way he's playing is uninspiring. So that's one of the things I'm going to be looking for the rest of these seeding games. Really want to see George Hill get going, because if he is going to be this guy the whole run, that's a huge blow to the Bucks, because he is supposed to be, as you said, that steadying force from the bench. Right now, he's not really steadying much of anything.
Yeah, he's really not. He's not being active in any real particular way. Given he did have like 5 assists against.
Yeah, he's got 9 total assists, which is 3rd on the team. But he also has 5 total turnovers. So it's like,
Yeah, it's like if you have 5 assists in this game against the Rockets, but you also have 3 turnovers and you score 5 points in total, you have as many points as you do like assists, and just 2 more points than you do with turnovers. That's just, it's a little concerning. You're just not being active in any way, trying to be aggressive, trying to, you know, actually be a part of the offense or in any, you know, real way, which is a little concerning, like I've been saying, because, you know, he has done that all year long. But maybe it's just, again, I can say this excuse and say it's just, oh, maybe he's just getting back into shape and stuff. Maybe he's just getting back into a rhythm. But like, so is everyone, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know whether he's taking a little more time because he's an older guy. I think it's not trending well, but there's obviously time for him to improve.
Yeah, I think it should be probably their biggest focus for the rest of these games is maybe draw up a couple more plays for George Hill than you normally would. You know, maybe even play him with the starters a little bit more, like as a first guy off the bench, keep 4 starters in George Hill, and try to run some stuff through him. Like, just get him feeling good, get him let him see a couple shots going, you know? So, like, play him with Giannis and Chris, whereas normally maybe he'd come in there, like, with Dante and kind of try to carry a second unit. Maybe put some training wheels on and, you know, like, get him some easier looks. It's a lot easier to score if Giannis and Chris and Brook Lopez are on the floor than it is if you're out there with Sterling Brown and Ersan and Marvin Williams. So maybe that could be something. I'd like to see them just work on that a little bit. But yeah, if they just, I'm hoping it's just one of those where he's a little out of the groove right now and he just kind of snaps back into it and we can put this early run in the bubble behind us.
Yeah, for sure. Another thing that we did see in this game, we did see Marvin Williams return.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun-ish.
Ish, yeah. He still has a little bit to go in terms of like getting comfortable. Given this is like the Rockets, they're a weird matchup for everyone, but I feel like it's especially difficult for a guy like Marvin Williams because it's like you don't really know what position you're really playing on defense.
Yeah, no, it's, yeah, they're all almost the exact same.
Yeah, so you don't really have any semblance of, you know, what you're supposed to do, which I guess is like, that's the thing with the Rockets, right? They can play anyone on any given night, and they can either get blown out or they can just win by like 30. Like, this is such a weird team and just high variance team.
Yeah, that they're like, disorienting to play against.
Yeah, they're probably the single weirdest matchup in the entire NBA. It's not even close.
Unless Denver wants to stick with that Bull Bull at the 2 lineup.
Oh, that's fair.
Then they'll be tied
they
for the weirdest.
They should play that in the playoffs, honestly. Like, what is anyone besides, like, you know, the Lakers supposed to do about that in terms of size?
I just want to see that 5 against the Houston 5. I think that would be awesome.
I feel like Houston would run them off the floor.
Yeah, almost for sure. But.
Yeah. but yeah, so again, maybe he'll have like a break. He'll have a breakout game against the Brooklyn Nets, Marvin Williams. But yeah, it was nice to see him back. We didn't see him against the Celtics. But you know, it was nice to see him back playing a healthy amount of minutes, 23 minutes. Ersan was down to less than 4 minutes in this game, which clearly again shows the pecking order, which is Marv over Ersan, which is great to see.
It is, yeah. Marvin doesn't hit a 3, which stinks. But I like that he got 9 rebounds in 23 minutes. I think that shows you, although he's on this team, it's just hard to look big because, like, the Lopez brothers and Giannis, but he is, like, a legit 4, and he can do power forward stuff, which is useful, especially, like, this is one where I think if the Bucks really cared, maybe they experiment a little more with Giannis at the 5 and switching everything if they don't just want to try to mash the Rockets, and that's obviously a place where Marvin Williams can be super important. Like to see him knock down some 3s in the next game, but, again, it was 3 shots. Like, sometimes you miss 3 shots. We should talk about Giannis. We always forget this.
Oh, yeah.
Just really, really good again. I mean, like I said, he blew the last play of the game, which that'll happen. You don't win them all. But 36 points, 18 rebounds, 8 assists, 1 block, and 3 turnovers in 36 minutes. He's 56% from the... Oh, sorry. NBA stats says 33.
Oh, 33. Yeah, sorry.
Somewhere 30, early, young 30s minutes. Yeah, I don't think young was the right word there. But he's 14 to 25 from the field, 2 for 5 from deep. Giannis continues to be a pretty solid three-point shooter. It's very early, though. And 6 for 9, nice free throw shooting performance. He's just great. Like, he's just a great player. He was getting a lot of whatever he wanted, although I thought he got a little, especially earlier. We saw too many straight line drives early on, and I just think that's, like I said, Houston is disorienting. They seem like a team you should just always be able to, like, post up or drive on, but they have, like, some sneaky, very resilient players. Like, I don't think Robert Covington was doing that great against Giannis, but PJ Tucker...
he was too busy getting absolutely cooked by Chris Middleton.
Also that, yes. But, like, PJ Tucker and even Harden, it's hard to drive right into those guys. I mean, that's the one thing that, especially Harden, can really defend well. I mean, those guys are bigger than they look. They're definitely heavier than they look. And I think it plays into their hands. I think when the Bucks got more into, you know, moving the ball around and getting it to Giannis in motion, they looked a lot better. But, I mean, the guy is just great. We should never forget to mention that.
Yeah, absolute dominating performance. Again, he messed up the final play. And given he was probably fouled on the play anyway. But, you know, you're not going to get the call every time.
Yeah.
It's the Shaq. Real effect there. Yeah. But yeah.
Well, what's funny to me about this game, just a final note on it. I feel like I've talked more. I said I was going to be about both games. I feel like I barely talked about the Boston game. But, like, even if the Bucks were down, the guys that they're down, and they shot so poorly from three, if they just took care of the ball like they normally do, they probably win anyway. I mean, they lose by four.
They probably win big.
Yeah. It's just like, I mean, they had 21 assists and 23 turnovers. They won the rebounding battle. I think they had three guys out rebound Houston, if I remember right. I mean, I think it was Giannis, Chris, and Brooke Lopez, at one point at least, had more rebounds than the whole Rockets team.
Yeah, they combined for 42 rebounds.
Felt like turnovers.
Chris, Giannis, and Brooke combined for 42 rebounds. The Rockets in total have 36.
That's insane. So they did out rebound him the whole game. That's nuts. But it's like, but the issue there is it's great to do that, but they wasted so many of their extra possessions. So that's why they lost. I really think it was the turnovers more than bricking the threes, more than letting the Rockets shoot a bunch of threes, which again, I actually think it was kind of a win for the Bucks that PJ Tucker took as many shots. I don't think that changed as James Harden. Like, if PJ Tucker beats you, PJ Tucker beats you. This is why the Warriors almost never lost in 2015-16. Because teams made the same gamble with Draymond that the Bucks made with PJ Tucker. Draymond actually beat some teams that year. He actually messed around and was an effective three-point shooter. But it's like, you'd rather have PJ Tucker launching sort of contested threes than James Harden doing almost anything. Like, that's a choice you'll live with. I think that's a choice the Bucks are fine with. I don't think Bud and the Bucks are looking at this game and going, we let PJ Tucker hit three or four threes and 12 shots, and that's why we lost.
No, it's because you gave transition opportunities to a fast, small team. Because you turned the ball over an insane amount of time and let Russell Westbrook and James Harden get in transition.
Exactly. I think that was the most glaring flaw. I think that was the biggest thing you have to fix. And I think just late game execution as well, which we already touched on. But yeah, I just think, I mean, they could have easily won this game. They should have easily won this game anyway, even with the turnovers. If they executed late better, and if they don't have the turnovers, they have a pretty sizable lead in the last few minutes. So that's why I don't see the doom and gloom. They have things to fix. They can fix them. They're not going to bring their perfect A game every single game, especially not at this point in the bubble run. It is what it is. They have things they need to fix. They're far from a perfect team, but they have some time still to work on it.
Yeah, especially when, like, the Rockets bench make 7 threes and the Bucks as a whole make 9. You know,
it's just, my goodness.
Yeah, it's just like when that happens, it's just hard. It's just it's a tough situation. That if this was a traditional, like, you know, 7-game series, let's say this is the finals, I think the Bucks win pretty easily still.
Yeah, I said in 5 if they played the Rockets.
Yeah, 5, maybe 6, you know, if it's super difficult, it's a 6-game series in Milwaukee's favor. But yeah, probably 5.
I just think, and I had some people reach out and they're like, this seems disrespectful. Like, is this trolling? And I was like, no, they just guard Harden so well. And I think that's, like, if you do that for a whole series, I just don't know how many games can Russ and, like, Ben McLemore win you against a really good team in the Bucks if Harden is fairly, and I think he probably gets loose for a game, which is why I said 5. but they just guard him so well. So yeah, that was my thing. But they're not gonna. I don't think the Rockets have much of a chance to make the finals. It'd be fun if they did. I wouldn't mind it, but I don't think they will.
Yeah, the Bucks would win the finals.
Yeah, that's a very good point. But yeah, Brooklyn is tomorrow as you listen to this, or maybe today as you listen to this on Tuesday. And I don't know if preview is the right word. So have you seen all the guys that they're sitting, Rohan?
That Brooklyn is sitting?
Yeah. Joe Harris, Caris LeVert, and Jarrett Allen are all out.
Oh, God.
Yeah, they're out of players. I mean, you had those three to the list of Kyrie, KD, Spencer Dinwiddie, DeAndre Jordan, I think Wilson Chandler. Chris Chioza, baby.
Oh, no.
So I did see, just to note, this isn't like a gambling plug or whatever, but if you do DFS and you're for sure Giannis is playing, probably a good bet. But because I think Dante Hall is going to start at center for the Nets, and he's like a 6'9" guy who looked good in the G League, but is not going to be ready for the Bucks. But Matt Velasquez did kind of put out there, he's been wondering for a while if this will be kind of a rest the starters game for the Bucks, and this might make it a really perfect opportunity for it to be that. It didn't seem like he was sourcing anything on that, but who knows? Maybe it's like a little subtle wink nudge kind of deal. I have no idea, but it wouldn't shock me if they did give somebody or a couple guys maybe the game off, but it did seem like Bud was trying to ramp up the minutes a little bit, so it's hard to say, but I think even if the Bucks gave four guys the night off, this feels like a pretty easy win.
Yeah, it should be. I'd hope so.
I mean, yeah, the Nets are just out of guys.
Caris LeVert and Jared Allen?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I know. It's
so it's, the only other player that scored more than 9 points in their win against the Wizards, the Brooklyn Nets, that is, other than those three players, was Chris Chioza with 14 points. Yeah.
He's ready. And also, they're going to make a decision on Jamal Crawford's availability tomorrow morning. So they might be without him, too.
Oh, no.
I don't know how much impact that's really gonna have, but
I'm nervous.
This would be a nice one to get Bledsoe back though, and just really let him.
That was gonna be my next point. If Eric Bledsoe and Pat Connaughton, if they're healthy and ready to go, this would be a great opportunity. Just like a nice little warm up against your middle school basketball team.
just go cook somebody.
Yeah, just go pull up to the Y as an NBA player. Did you know Jabari Parker used to go to the Y in Sauckville sometimes?
Really? Yeah. What, Sauckville, really?
Yeah.
I heard. Did you ever see him there?
No, I never did. But I heard that because I used to go there sometimes, and I was like, oh man. Random nugget.
That would have been fun. I'm trying to see what Nets are left.
Oh my god,
poor Taurean Prince does not deserve this.
Yeah, it's also the Bucks coming off loss that I think...
Taurean Prince is out. I'm sorry, excuse me.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he's not playing either.
Oh.
So here's their out list. Beasley is out. Wilson Chandler's out. Nicholas Claxton is out. Jamal Crawford's a maybe. Dinwiddie's out. Durant's out. Kyrie's out. DeAndre Jordan's out. Taurean Prince is out. And now also Joe Harris, Caris LeVert, and Jarrett Allen are out. So if you look at scorers, who's their...
Lance Thomas, Tyler Johnson,
Garrett Temple. Let me just look at by minutes. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4. They have Garrett Temple. Did I say his name?
No.
They do have him. Okay, so he was fifth in minutes, so they still have him. And then the next guy in minutes is, Timothy Luau-Cabarré, who was ninth in total minutes. And then Karuks and Musa, Theo Pinson, Nuaba is out. Shump, maybe?
Theo, isn't he on the Knicks now?
Who?
Theo Pinson?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. I was just reading down the list of, their total minutes played. So they have, they're going to play just a couple guys who even have, 100 minutes for them this year.
Yeah. Well, this will be a good preview of the first round, maybe?
Probably. I didn't even think of that. Oh my goodness, this poor. I kind of feel bad for some of the guys on the Nets, to be honest. Like
they're just gonna get steamrolled, and it's
just
it's not gonna be probably that entertaining.
It'll be if the Bucks play everybody, it'll be how many points can Giannis score in 18 minutes?
18 is a lot.
Probably 40. Yeah, it is a lot. I just the one bummer is you really won't get anything. Like, I'm not gonna look at this game and take much away from it, just because, like you said, I mean, it's really not fair.
It's an opportunity for the role players to get acclimated.
Just to get going. Yeah. Just for guys to get going. Like, this would be a great game for George Hill to put up like 15 points and make a couple threes and feel good, you know. Why not more?
Yeah, who's going to guard him? Garrett Temple?
Yeah. And
he's like, what, 70?
Justin Anderson?
He's 34, Garrett Temple is. But yeah, it's 70. Close enough. Same thing. Just half. But yeah, if we can get like a nice primary option George Hill night, like, that'd be exciting.
Yeah.
Things to look forward to. More DJ Wilson minutes. DJ played more than Ersan against the Rockets. God, he played more than Robin Lopez, and he didn't do that bad.
He was credible against Westbrook.
Yeah.
And this is, I've been saying this, but it's like Groundhog Day.
It's because you called him like a future Piston last episode.
I've called a lot of people. I think we also called Sterling that, right?
Oh yeah.
Or was it DJ?
I think it was DJ.
Oh. I think I went on Laz's podcast and thought it was Sterling, but I guess they're both future Pistons to me now. But I love that DJ Wilson is like, what's the groundhog that predicts the weather?
Punxsutawney Phil.
Yes. He's like that. He just comes out once a year, defends a high profile player for 8 minutes, goes back to the bench for a year. Like, that's, and he gives everyone enough hope to keep going. He sees his own shadow. Mm-hmm. He defends his own shadow. And he departs. So last year it was Blake Griffin. This year it's Russell Westbrook. And I'm going to hear people telling me about this for the next year now. We both will. Every time we do a mailbag, DJ Wilson. What do you think about his all-defense future? I mean, you saw him guard Russell Westbrook for 8 minutes. It was a good performance, but it's hilarious to me. I feel like that's it. We got one this year. We're good.
Mm-hmm. We got 16 total minutes of good DJ Wilson. good on you, DJ. Yeah, I think, is there anything else that we need to necessarily cover in this episode?
No, I mean, I compare DJ Wilson to Punxsutawney Phil. That's how you say
it? Yeah, I think so.
Who cares? It's a groundhog. I think that tells you we're about at the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, so I guess we'll say thank you for listening to this episode of the Eurostep here on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. If you did enjoy the show, please leave a rating and subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. Wow. Make sure you tell all your family and friends about the show, because, you know, we have actual basketball to talk about. So, you know, we want you want to like embrace all of the basketball content that we're putting out, Bucks content that we're, you know, providing. You know who else is providing content? Everyone across the Blue Wire Network. So make sure you check out everything being put out there, and you might find some show that you enjoy that's new. You know, you never know. Until we talk to you next, please stay safe, and then we will talk to you then.